I'm not kidding. Like, I was crying in a way that I don't think I've ever cried before.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Hawa, and you're listening to Hawa Unscripted. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. In this episode, we continue with the Love of Hijab series, where hijabis share how they, mashallah tabarakallah, came to be. Without further ado, this is Ummi Hawa's love story with hijab.
I'm so excited to start. I'm like, where do I begin now that I'm actually on the phone?
I know. Because we texted a little bit, so I'm like, I just wanted that because I just feel like it makes it more personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, I don't want to just get on the call, on the podcast, and that's the first time we're, you know, having any sort of conversation. So
yeah.
I'm glad that we got to like talk a little bit yesterday.
You're like, who's the stranger and what do they want?
Exactly. Well, not really. I mean, when it comes to like, again, like how you were saying in your text too, like when it comes to talking about Allah and meeting like-minded individuals, like there's, I feel like that level of like, who is this person? What is going on? Like, I feel like that's lifted, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, bismillah. So we spoke like very briefly, like you mentioned, of like what the series is and what I hoped for it to do. So to just kind of start it off, I was wondering if, like, what you can share with your childhood or, like, growing up with Islam and just, like, seeing hijab, if there was examples around you.
Again, like I told you, we were texting. I am, like, super family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I love my family down. And I'm always telling people, like, oh, my family wants to live in my skin, blah, 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 blah. But I'm, like, I feel like if you really know me, you know that it's really the other way around. Like, I'm the one that wants to live in their skin.
Yeah.
And I think family bonds, like, that is something that is really important in the deen and maintaining that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's, like, that was pretty much the entire basis of my childhood, just having that very strong foundation in my family and in my community. And I'm really thankful that we had that. I grew up in Michigan. So I was born in Gambia, West Africa. And then I came to America when I was like 2.5, 3 years old. And me and my family settled in Michigan, and there was a large Senegalese Gambian community there. So like our parents were a part of a Senegambian association, and all of us went to Islamic Sunday school together on the weekends. So that was really nice. And our teacher there was also Gambian. So that was amazing. So we had that really tight knit community, and we all learned together. We played sports together. When there was funerals, baby showers, all of these things, like our parents, the community as a whole would come together. So getting to see like the Islamic influence also on those kinds of things, those types of like cultural events and things like that. So again, like growing up, going to Islamic Sunday school on the weekends with like my siblings and cousins, that was amazing. I think to start building that foundation and learning the importance of prayer, starting to learn Quran and stuff like that. But I will say what was missing was truly that deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I grew up always knowing, yes, I need to pray my 5 daily prayers. I need to try to develop a relationship with Quran, but not in the way that I have now. Before it was, I need to learn to read Arabic. I need to memorize surahs. Going to Jummah on Fridays, going to Hajj, giving charity, you know, just, I feel like what are the basics of our deen?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, I'm not trying to downplay that. It is amazing that I had that great foundation. And I'm really thankful to my parents and the community that we had growing up that we were able to have that. But I don't think I started to develop a personal connection with Allah and with the deen until my early 20s, really. Where I started to really try to seek knowledge for myself and deepen my connection for myself and truly learn why I'm Muslim, you know. And I think it's really important to know why you're a Muslim and not just saying like, oh, I grew up a Muslim, where my parents are, my community is, my family is, you know, but like, why are you specifically a Muslim? I don't think that I was able to truly answer that for myself with a deep connection until my early 20s.
Yeah, I completely understand that. like, alhamdulillah, it sounds like you had, like, you know, Islam, like, you were brought up with Islam, and, like, mm-hmm. when you are younger, it is kind of hard to grasp. You're just kind of just, like, on what your family and community is on, or at least that was my experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to, like, school, were you in public school at all? Were you also around, like, Muslims?
Yeah, I grew up in public school, and no, not really. I was very often, because I grew up in the suburbs, so I was very often one of the few Black children in the classroom, mostly the only African in the classroom, and then with Muslims, very, very few. Or at least I should say it wasn't something that, you know, we wore on us, like, you know, with growing up and, like, seeing hijab more often, like, in public school, there wasn't a lot of younger kids that were wearing hijab, at least during my time.
Yeah.
So the only time that I had it was at home in the community and on the weekends, you know, with the school that I attended.
Yeah. And then, like you said, growing up in public school and you didn't put on the hijab until later on, what was your ibadah or your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, as you were, like, in your teenager, slightly closer to adulthood?
Mm-hmm. I would say I wasn't practicing as much as well as I am now. Again, it was just the basics, prayer, reading Quran, going to Jummah, celebrating Eid, fasting for Ramadan. It wasn't really anything where I was like, I know why I'm doing this. I know the history behind these things. I know about our role models. I know why Allah has commanded us to do these things. It was more of just, this is how I grew up, and I know that it's of importance, and I know that I need to do this because of fear of Allah. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be punished for not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, I wasn't practicing as much or as well as I should have, and as much and as well as I am now.
What was the turning point for you?
The turning point? I feel like that kind of gets into, like, why I started wearing hijab.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, my turning point, if I can kind of, like, pivot.
Yeah, of course.
That way, because it's all, like, intertwined, really.
Yeah.
So I had been singing about wanting to wear hijab for, like, 2 years. I think 2023 and 2024, Ramadan, I would just cover my head. So it wasn't really full hijab. It was just mainly kind of, like, dipping my toes in
mm-hmm.
before I decided to truly take the leap, which I kind of later realized. And it's hard to admit, and it's not nice to say, but I later realized that it was more about love of this dunya. Was why I continuously tried to put it off. And I think it's not a nice thing to say in the eyes of Allah. Like, I was basically telling him, you know, I love this dunya more than I love you. So I'm not going to fully practice in the way that I should, or wear hijab in the way that I should. You know, like, how silly is that to be like, oh, there's some, you know, there's some hairstyles I want to do first, concerts I want to attend, outfits I want to wear. Like,
yeah.
And I was saying to myself, like, girl, imagine you're standing before him on the day of judgment talking about, oh, I wanted to try out that, like, what was that hairstyle really like? Like, that high ponytail with the cute swoop to the side. Like, you know, like, that's wild, you know, subhanAllah, for real. But I started to learn a lot more. So I started learning more through taking classes with Miftah Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the institute that's based in Michigan where I grew up. And I love Miftah. I could talk about them all day and sing their praises. But I started to feel kind of dishonest and hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at how much I'm learning and deepening my connection with Allah and the deen, but I can't wear hijab, you know?
Yeah.
So that also began eating at me internally, and starting to want to do things like going to Umrah. Like, how can I go to Umrah and not be following everything that Allah has commanded me to do to the best of my abilities? Like, not to say wearing hijab is something simple, but something as simple as wearing hijab, you can't do that, but you'll go all the way to Umrah, you know? So for me personally, I just couldn't live with feeling that dishonesty and hypocrisy within myself. So I think with beginning to reflect more, which I think reflection is extremely important. And I think that a life with no reflection, you know, checking in with yourself, setting your intentions, you know, that's not the kind of life that I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So during my final, and I think I mentioned to you yesterday or today about my master's, but during my final semester of my master's program and after graduation last year, and that was in May, I kept going back to how merciful Allah is, you know, and those 2 years were not easy for me in the slightest. Like from start to finish, I was working full time at a refugee resettlement agency. I was in my master's program full time, and like life outside of work and school was really heavy for me as well. So dealing with some things that I don't necessarily want to share on a podcast, but
Yeah,
the
of
most
course.
major event I would say was losing my maternal grandmother. So she's the one that I was explaining to you, like not only my grandma, but like my namesake as well, my role model. I grew up looking up to her and wanting to be everything she was, and that still stands true to this day. And like to this day, I feel like the best compliments I ever receive are the ones where I'm being compared to her. Nothing else truly matters to me, you know. So
Yeah.
to lose the physical presence of that person was extremely heavy. So that compounded with everything else just made it really hard to push on. But like I did it anyway, because that's just how I am, you know. Like I might cry through whatever it is, but like, you know, there's nothing or no one besides Allah that can keep me down. And obviously he would never do that. So moral of the story is like I'll make it through anything and everything by his grace. But and those 2 years weren't any different. So even though those struggles, even through those struggles, like there wasn't a single moment where I didn't feel completely covered and loved and supported by Allah and my people. And then, so all of that just really started to hit me during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah last year. So mind you, I graduated from grad school during the first week of May of 2024, and then I started wearing hijab on June 10th of 2024. So I like woke up that day on June 10th to pray Tahajjud and Fajr, and it's like literally everything hit me that day. And like I'm not kidding, like I was crying in a way that I don't think I've ever cried before.
SubhanAllah.
Like yeah, I sat on my prayer mat and I was just thanking Allah for everything. Like I was thanking him for my people, my friends, my family, and for the life he blessed me with. And like, you know how sometimes you start praying and like you're praying for A, by the time you're done, you're at Z, and then you go all the way back. Like you're just praying over all of these things. So like I was just thanking him for his mercy and his support and his guidance and seeing me through every season of life, like the good and the bad, and seeing my family through, you know, their own seasons. And I was thanking him for calling me to him in that way, you know, to be moved to tears, to be full of so much emotion. And I began like repenting and begging for his forgiveness for everything, no matter how small. And it was like I just felt very like reborn and refreshed, and like just I was starting fresh, you know. And I was having this dialogue with him, like, what can I do to truly show you how much I love you? Oh my God, I don't want to cry. But like I was just like, what can I do to like show you how much I love you? You know, what can I do to show my full gratitude? Because I feel like prayer isn't enough, you know, even though it is. But like, that's just how I felt in that moment. Like, I just felt like prayer isn't enough to show you, like, yeah, Allah, I need you to please tell me what I can do to show you that I don't want to live a life where you're not at my center. You know, I don't want to live a life where you're not at the root of my heart and everything else in my life. And it was like it instantly clicked, like, girl, put the hijab on. You know, like that's what you can do. You can put your hijab on. You can, you know, continue on this path of like seeking knowledge that you're on, you know, all of these things that you've been doing, you know, you've been practicing your whole life. Yeah, you haven't been practicing to the level that you know that you can or at the level that you want to, but like you've always had Islam in your heart. So now just put on the hijab. So yeah, then I literally just made the decision and intention to bring hijab on in the best way possible too by fasting. So I would say like all of that really, like just seeking knowledge and starting to wear hijab, like all of that was really my major turning point for like just really in part, you know, digging deeper into the deen.
Yeah, subhanAllah. I'm just like, Wow, that's such a beautiful story and such a beautiful dua. I'm like, write that down and make that later.
I'm so dead. Not write it down.
I'm like, let me screenshot this at this exact minute because I have to make that dua. No, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grandmother, the highest level of Jannah.
I love her.
And then it's just like, your story is just like so, so beautiful. And it's not a general thing, but I've seen somewhere once, some deeds are a sign of faith. Having your faith is one thing, but because of that faith, because of that iman in your heart, then you're able to do those deeds and those actions that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you just saying like that dua and just talking about how like your life changed just made me think of the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says like, if you're grateful, then he'll surely like increase you. Yes. And it reminds me of his name, Al-Mu'izz, where it's like the honor or the bestower of might. And like wearing the hijab feels like such an honor, you know?
It is.
Like just putting it on, wearing it, just going out, it's just such an honor. So like the world, the Western world tries to paint as like being oppressed, or like even in our mind sometimes, I think we internalize the Islamophobia we see all the time, so we convince ourselves it isn't the best thing for us. But it's like,
absolutely,
wearing it just feels like, I don't know how to describe it, because it's something I've always like worn. But once you like know your reason for wearing it and like have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just a completely different feeling. It doesn't feel like something I just do to cover my hair. Like when people like ask like, why do you wear hijab? The last thing I think about is like, oh, I have to cover my hair or always to hide my beard. I'm like, let me tell you about the Lord that I worship.
Okay, like, let me write my essay for you.
I'm like, pull up a seat. I have time. Do you have time?
Exactly. No word. That's exactly what it feels like. But like, you just made me think of something. I feel like you shouldn't, because I do hear it from sisters that have worn hijab their whole life, or from childhood, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you guys should downplay yourselves, because I do think that you can renew your intentions for anything at any time. You know, like, and that's between you and Allah at the end of the day. Like, you can sit on your prayer mat, and like, the more that you're learning, and like, you can always evolve with hijab too, you know, like, there's so much evolution that comes with this, growth that comes with this internally and all that. And yeah, you've physically been wearing it, and maybe you didn't have that deep of a connection from childhood, but it's like, you can always renew your intentions with Allah and, you know, speak to him about like, you know, your love for it and how you just want that to continue to grow, and you want to also encourage people to do the same, you know? So it's like, I feel like there's not necessarily one that's like above the other. It's just, we all arrive at different times in our life, and like, you can still arrive there even if you've been wearing it your whole life.
Yeah. No, I love that. It reminds me of your post, like this part of this conversation. I was on TikTok and I talk about TikTok in a bad light sometimes because like the brain rot and everything on there. But alhamdulillah, I was on TikTok and I came across your post, and then you said, it was like you and hijab, and you captioned it, I love hijab and my hijab loves me. Yes. And then as soon as I read that, I was like smiling ear to ear, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
that makes me happy. I want to cry.
I was like, oh my gosh, like I absolutely love that, because like we only see like, we talked briefly about this before, we only see one conversation of hijab on the internet, and it always has like this negative like conversation around it. And it's like, you're either wearing it correctly, and if you're not or you aren't wearing it, it's like, attack me.
Absolutely.
So it makes people like avoid the conversation, or if they are struggling with it, like just pushes them further away. So when I see things like that, which you very rarely see, it's just like, wow. And just makes me like immediately think of my hijab. So I wanted to ask you, like, what does it mean, why you love your hijab, and what it means for your hijab to love you?
Like you said, I feel like you said a lot and summed it up kind of for me. But yeah, like I love this hijab, and like when you reached out to me after seeing it too, I was just like, oh my god, this is so sweet. Like it actually just, I'm a very dramatic person, honestly. I cry a lot, but like good happy tears, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just really made me smile and like happy tears to like get that message from you about, how much you loved seeing that and to hear you now talk about it more in depth. Like that just really makes me happy. But I feel like I definitely do not hide how much I love this hijab. It's like a consistent reminder of my love for Allah and his love for me. And how much I truly want to embody it as best as I can. And it's not just something you throw on your head for vibes or simply because it goes with an outfit, And I say it all the time to anybody that will listen, but like I have so much love and respect for our role models in Islam, like the male and female role models alike. But with my hijab specifically, I feel like it's a direct link to our female role models. I feel like they were truly everything. Like they are the blueprint, and I want to be loved by Allah the way that they were as well. So if this is one of the ways that I can do that, then yes, absolutely. I will continue to strive to uphold and embody everything within me that comes with wearing this hijab because I'm also representing those women that came before me so long ago. And I love the solidarity that comes with it. Like just how we're talking about right now, the mutual excitement that comes with meeting a fellow hijabi out of nowhere, connecting with one, whether that's on social media or, at a coffee shop, walking down the road, just that excitement that comes from us. And like, I feel like, people talk about that when you know thing when it comes to like romantic relationships and things like that. But I just feel like when it comes to like the love that I have been blessed with from Allah, from my family, from, the women that I can consider my sisters, my best friends, like I believe that Allah also shows his love to you through the people that are in your life, So I think like meeting people and like just that instant connection that you feel, I just feel like that there's nothing better than that, And yeah, like I love seeing when my fellow sisters in Islam also embrace hijab. Like to me, like it's really giving light in the club. We all fam. I
We're
love it. I
all
love it so
fam.
we're all fam. I love it so much. And just the immediate connection it brings on for us. Like it's just super heartwarming, So yeah, I love everything about the experience. I love the connection to Allah, to our female role models. And yeah, I feel like when you love the hijab, when you love the deen, when you love Allah, like it just radiates off of you, So, and I love that we can share that.
Yes, honestly, so amazing. And then when you're like when you said like in the club we're all fam, like that's genuinely how it feels. Like whenever I'm like out in public in a place where you wouldn't expect like see hijabs, like if it's like a small town or like further away from like community and you see hijab, it's like it's just like so exciting because you're like you see almost like a piece of yourself in them or like a piece of God, because the hijab is a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's also a connection to your brothers and sisters in faith as well. So like it's like someone you know in a place you don't know, it almost feels like you don't even have to talk to them. Just seeing that you're in hijab and someone else in hijab is like, I see you see me, I'm good.
Absolutely. And I will say with that too, I do get a little disheartened, I can't lie, when I say assalamu alaikum to somebody and they don't say something back. I'm like, okay, now at the very least, y'all, this is what, like let's greet people with assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. And like I don't know, I always like joke about it like with my friends and family. I'm like, this is so like Gambian coded of me, because like in Gambia, like greeting is really, really important. Like I grew up like with that notion of like the worst thing that you could one of the worst things that you can be is like a child that doesn't greet. So like when you see people say something, greet, smile, say assalamu alaikum, and I'm just like, I'm a very like smiley person, all of this. So it's like when I see a fellow Muslim, like even if you're not wearing hijab, or let's say you have like maybe a keychain of like the Kaaba or something, or like you're holding something that is like a clear indication of you being a Muslim, I'm like, oh my God, assalamu alaikum, like I was sitting, I traveled to Vancouver, Washington, I think last month. Yeah, during Ramadan last month. And I was on the plane and I was trying to figure out when to break my fast because I've never like traveled while I was fasting. So I was like, oh, like, do I break my fast at the time that I left, like when it's Maghrib from the city that I left, or when it's for the city that I'm going to? So I was on Google trying to figure it out, and it wasn't loading. And there was a couple sitting next to me, and the sister was wearing hijab, and the brother, like, obviously, you know, they looked like a couple.
Yeah.
So they looked like a married couple. So I was like, okay, let me just ask. Like, I feel like they're Muslim, but like, I don't know. I was just like, assalamu alaikum, brother. I feel so ashamed. I'd like to ask the question. But at the end of the day, you have to ask, you know, yeah. Like, nobody's going to make me feel silly for asking a question that I really, and in that moment, I really needed to know because I felt like my stomach was touching my back. Like, I really needed to figure it out. So I was like, assalamu alaikum, brother. I was like, I'm so sorry. Are you guys Muslim? And he just smiled at me. He was like, wa alaikum salam. He was like, yes, we are. I was like, oh my God, thank you. I was like, can you please tell me when I'm supposed to break my fast? And then I just asked him, and he was like, oh, something about, like, when you see, like, the sun on the horizon or something that he explained. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So I was paying attention. Like, I had that window open, like, just waiting. I have never been like that in my life, but that day I was just so, like, I don't know what happened, what came over me. But he was just so nice, like, when it was time, because I feel like he was, like, watching me low-key to, like, help me out. And then, like, he passed me over some dates because they had, like, dates and, like, tea and stuff like that. And I asked for hot water. So it was just really nice. I was just like, oh, like, I love that we can, like, look out for each other this way. You know, we can see each other, have a connection. Like, that whole assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, and we're smiling at each other. And he was so kind to, like, share dates with me, too. So, yeah, like, that. I love moments like that. And it just makes me really feel sad when I interact with somebody and we don't have interactions like that, because I just feel like when it comes to at least Islam in any aspect, I don't think it's okay to be unkind or anything like that, but especially when it comes to the deen, when it comes to Islam, when it comes to greeting and somebody says assalamu alaikum to you, say wa alaikum salam back. It's easy, you
yeah.
know. So yeah,
no, I've also had experiences like that. I think it just depends on the person, really. I'm not gonna lie, before I was like super practicing, like, yes, Islam. I wasn't one to say like some racist people. If someone says it to me, yeah. of course I'll say it back. But if we yeah. lock eyes, I'll do like a little nod and like keep it pushing. I'm like a shy person as well. So I'm like, yeah. So when someone doesn't, I'm like, I try to like keep it in mind. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'll make a quick excuse.
Yeah.
But no, I do love the like the sense of community too. And I think that's another beautiful thing about hijab too. Like if like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens people like in rooms with you, you know, by the will of Allah, you know, that couple was there and they were able to help. It could have been just random people. But the fact that they wore hijab was like a indicator for you.
Absolutely.
So if anyone ever needs like another hijab, or someone needs like, you know, guidance or help or something, your hijab could be the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses you to help a person.
I agree.
But as far as hijab and like your clear love for it, say like a sister doesn't have that same like experience, and like what would you advise someone who is wearing hijab and struggling, or someone who isn't wearing hijab yet but is thinking about it?
I think struggling to start wearing hijab, and then somebody who is, I would say seeking knowledge honestly is a really great place to start. I feel like you're not going to want to do something that you have no knowledge of or have zero connection to. And there's always more to learn. Like, none of us are perfect. And that is something that Allah wants us to do, to learn and to spread dawah to people. And there's a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something about whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge, then Allah will make the path to paradise easy for them. And I really love that hadith, not only because of that promise from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Allah making the path to paradise easier, but because I really love being a nerd, honestly, and I've never seen that term as an insult. But since I was a kid, like, I've always been pretty inquisitive, just always trying to learn more, and that's how I strive to approach Islam. And I want to learn as much as I possibly can about history, our role models, major events in Islam, and I want to learn the sunnah and carry it out to the best of my abilities. So I love that something that I do genuinely enjoy doing is directly tied to paradise. And I believe in my heart that, like, when your search for all of this is genuine and you're praying to Allah to open your eyes, your ears, and your heart, and then the process of seeking knowledge and kindly sharing what you learn with others in a non-judgmental and welcoming way and trying to learn alongside others, then Allah, of course, will make that journey easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that rings true for everything with the deen, honestly, not just with hijab. And like I say this all the time, like, you really have to be about the things that you say. You know, you may be able to put up a facade with yourself or with the world around you, but you can't do that with Allah in any aspect.
Absolutely.
So, like, I would tell people, I would probably tell sisters, you know, be genuine and true in your pursuit with hijab, with the deen, seek knowledge and go to him, and he will certainly open his arms to you. Like, he makes that promise very clear to us in so many different ways. So I think that seeking knowledge and making sure that your words and your actions are in alignment are probably the best two pieces of advice that I can give to sisters, like, in their early stages of pursuing hijab. And I also think that seeking knowledge, that aspect also protects you from not following the crowd type thing.
Mm.
Like, your hijab is for Allah and Allah alone, not for following trends, not for doing what the next sister is doing. Like, even though you know, you might think that it's wrong, or you might know that it's wrong, you know. So I feel like when seeking knowledge is your foundation, is your basis, like, it protects you from so much. And then you're also able to, like, truly learn, like, this is why I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And just building that connection.
You know, that's very, very good advice. I think also for me, when I decided to be firm or, like, wear it, like, properly, was also when I was, like, seeking knowledge. So, like, that rings true for me.
Yeah.
We see on social media, like, sisters who take off their hijab. And I think it's becoming more and more common now, which is unfortunate. And you never know people's, like, situation or reason for doing so.
Yeah, Allah knows best.
Yeah. And I think, like, a lot of, like, young girls are, you know, impressionable. And it's not obviously, you know, the people's responsibility. Well, if you're an influence, it kind of is in a way. But, you know, when it comes to, like, seeking knowledge and things like that, it's, like, very, very important. You making decisions for yourself, they can be of influence, but your decision to take it off isn't dependent on someone.
Yeah. Well, I will say also, you just made me think of something when you were talking about, like, influencers and people being impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
I think support is extremely, extremely important. And yes, this applies to hijab, but I think that it applies to all Muslims, honestly. But I feel like we really need to support one another and lead by example. And among the many qualities that I love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love how he led by example and spoke to people with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's really important to be soft in your approach with people when it comes to everything, but especially when it comes to the deen, because subhanAllah, like, you never want to be the individual that turns someone away from Islam, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the thought of that alone honestly sends chills down my spine, because imagine Allah blesses you with an opportunity to be kind, loving, welcoming to somebody, to kind of, you know, show somebody the ropes in a way, to teach them something and draw them closer to Islam, but you do nothing but, like, shame and insult them or lead them down this path of, like, sharing things that you know are not good or that you know are not true, and then they in turn move further away from the deen. You know, and, like, we all have to start somewhere. Like, Allah didn't make any of us perfect. We all have different gifts, and some people are so strong with their hijab. Some are very consistent with sunnah prayers, like tahajjud or salatul duha. Some recite Quran very well. Some are very quick to charitable acts. Some are very good with their speech. You know, the list goes on. But I say all that to say that Allah created us all differently with different gifts and struggles within us. So never look down on anyone, or be judgmental, or overlook the potential influence that you have. Mm-hmm. And especially with being judgmental, because that's not what we're put on this earth to do. So, like, always try to uplift and support your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. And I think those actions serve as reminders to remain reflective and always be checking in with ourselves to make sure that we're worshiping in the best way that we possibly can. Because I feel like when it comes to judgment, like, you surely shouldn't have all this time in the world to be judging the next person, you know, and looking at them sideways. Like, leave that judgment for Allah and Allah alone. Like, on the day of judgment, Allah is not going to call you or anyone else by his side to be judging anyone alongside him. So it's best, like, you know, we cut out all of those things while we're here living and breathing, and we have the time to correct ourselves and strive best towards our akhirah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, looking to yourself first always. And, like, I honestly believe that sometimes the things that you're so quick to recognize in others is linked to yourself, and that's why your eyes are so open to it. And I know I'm going off on a tangent here when it comes to judgment, but, like, I just strongly dislike the judgment that I witness on the daily. And, like, I could go on and on about that topic alone,
mm-hmm.
but I really do believe there's so much barakah in being supportive, compassionate, and empowering to others, and being intentional, like, doing your due diligence to make sure that you are not spreading things that you are not supposed to be spreading. Because if you put something out there that you're not supposed to, or that is displeasing to Allah, all these things, and, you know, especially with social media, like, we have all these things just at the tip of our fingers.
Yeah.
Each person that goes down that wrong path or does something wrongly, like, that's also your sin to carry, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, just being more mindful and intentional about what we put out there and being more cautious, because, yeah, it's just, it's scary to think of what can be held against you.
No, it is very, very scary as someone who could potentially be influencing towards bad, but even as someone who's advising, because I think I read somewhere too, where it's like, some, you should only advise if it's going to be of benefit. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes we become arrogant when we aren't struggling or aren't tested in a way that other people are. It's hard for us to see and understand their situation. So we become arrogant in a way and give advice, and I feel like sometimes it's not very genuine. It's like, because I know this, you also need to know this as well. But mm-hmm. if the advice isn't of benefit, what is the reason for giving it?
Absolutely.
It's, like, very unfortunate to see, especially when there's things like hijab, which is already very hard, especially in, like, the United States, where
mm-hmm.
like, we're not favored. I don't want to, like, put fear around hijab as we're speaking about it.
No, absolutely. But you have to be real at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, so, like, mm-hmm. not having your community support makes it even more hard.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when that advice isn't genuine and it comes out very aggressive or very, just, like, not supportive. I think it makes it very hard. Because even before, I was, like, actively practicing Islam and someone advised me in a way that wasn't gentle. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, forget you and forget that.
Exactly.
Which was, like, wrong on my part too, but it's like, you have to give
it. You're human.
Yeah, yeah. Human.
It's just unfortunate, I feel like. And yeah, it's, I feel like also, like, everything that we say, of course, and, like, what we're striving towards and the good that we're trying to do for the sake of Allah, like, it's a reminder to ourselves before anybody else. Mm-hmm. So it is really important to look within yourself first before you look to anyone else. And yeah, I know people talk about this whole tough love, be tough on people, blah, 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 whoop-de-whoop, whoop. Like, no. It doesn't work in the way that you think that it's going to work. And even if you do think that it might work,
mm-hmm.
do that in other areas. I don't support it, but, like, do that in other areas. But when it comes to the deen, like, look at our role models, like, just their simple way of being, you know, was what would call people to Islam, was what would call people to want to strive more and to be better. Like, looking at how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen as a walking Quran, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. Like, he never put his fist up. He never forced anybody to become a Muslim, was never harsh on people for things, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what he was remembered for. So it's like, if the individual that is, like, our biggest role model in the deen, you know, is so respected, like, the most common name in the world, like, all these things, like, so dearly loved by Allah, you know, that is going to come forward for us on the day of judgment, all of these things, like, if he didn't do things in that way, why would you think that it's going to work for you? You know, why would you think the opposite is going to work for you? So, yeah, I just think it is really, really important when it comes to the dean, like, be gentle, be kind, be welcoming, call people in by leading by example first, you know, setting a good example. And then when you do speak, be good with your speech, you know, because you never want to say or do anything that would turn somebody away.
Yes. No, absolutely love that. You're just dropping gems. But no, jazakallah khair. Like, Allahumma barik. It's almost your 1 year since putting hijab on. What does that feel like?
I feel like I'm full of so much emotion. But then again, I'm always full of emotion. I always say this to my mom. Like, I am my mother's child. That lady, she could cry about anything. Me too. Like, I cry when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm frustrated. So, yeah, I feel so full of emotion. Like, it's been a ride. It's been a ride over the past year. Like, I just feel, you know, like, for me, like, when I do something, I do it, you know? Like, I knew that whole dipping my toes in during those two Ramadans, like, trying to just cover my head, like, I knew that wasn't going to work for me. Because for me, like, I'm very passionate, like, sure of myself and my decisions. And I don't necessarily like to tiptoe or be half in something. So it's either I'm in or I'm out. And that's how I feel about my hijab journey. Like, I know how strongly I feel about it. I know how strongly I feel about the deen. I know how I got here and the emotions, repentance, gratitude, love, and like connection to Allah that I felt the day that I decided I was going to wear it. And I feel like nothing else matters beyond that for me. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like all of those emotions and the feelings that came up for me the day I started to wear it is probably just as the day gets closer again, it's just gonna really, really start to hit me. But I welcome it. I love it. I love that reflection. I really want to reflect on the past year. I don't know how I'm gonna do that. Maybe I'll just write about it. But yeah, I'm really thankful and really happy that Allah has blessed me in this way and He's called me to Him in this way. And I really pray to encourage other women also. And yeah, just build community, continue to build community like this. And I just pray that it's all pleasing to Allah, you know, things like this that we're also taking part in. I just pray that most importantly, it is pleasing to Allah in the way that it's pleasing to us.
Yes, I mean, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you firm in it and continue to honor you with your hijab.
I mean, ya Rabbi, I pray the same for you. Like, I love this podcast. When you messaged me to come on the podcast, like, I listened to all the episodes and I was just like, oh, this girl is a gem. Like, I literally finish every episode, like, may Allah bless her for real, to have this idea, to articulate yourself, to want to share in it with other people. Most importantly, I think that's amazing. So I really do pray that this is a form of sadaqa jariyah for you, that when you are long gone, you know, it will be also like a major blessing and influence on everyone that comes after you.
I mean, for you as well. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. Like, I was like hoping this would be of benefit for people, and I've benefited so much from it. I'm like analyzing my life and where I can grow, and I'm just like alhamdulillah that I saw your post. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to do this. Like, everything that I do with this podcast is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, He accepts it. But I'm just like, alhamdulillah, like, yeah, that's all I can say, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, no, for real. It's just like, we're going to sit here all day, alhamdulillah. I'm here, right, Allahumma,
I mean, I have time.
I love it. This is amazing. So I hope that everything you're hoping to gain from this, you know, even if it is something in this dunya, but definitely most importantly, I hope that it will be most beneficial for you in the eyes of Allah.
I hope so as well. For you as well. And for any sister who's struggling with hijab, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you and grants you that. Allah makes it easy for you to seek knowledge, to put off hijab and to be firm in it. But it's such an honor, like, when you know why you're wearing it, and then you're just that much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when wearing it. It's just like anything else that comes with it is like that I'll accept it, I'll take it, you know? If it's going to mm-hmm. bring me this much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's going to increase me in this way, just give it to me. Just give it to mm-hmm. me.
Absolutely. Like, yes, all of it. We welcome all good things, all wonderful things. We want it.
Yes.
And again, mm-hmm. like, when you're doing things for your sake, and when you're truly doing things for the sake of Allah, like, I was listening to this lecture by Dr. Hefa Yunus the other day, and she was talking about, like, when you know that you're truly doing something for the sake of Allah, and when you know you're doing something with good intentions, when, like, let's say something goes wrong or whatever, like, you're not getting angry about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just like, ah, like, forget about this, blah, 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 you know, but like, because when you act like that way, it's like, are you sure you're doing that for Allah?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, if you're pursuing these things for the sake of Allah, like, it doesn't matter what comes out of it in a dunya sense. It doesn't matter who's paying attention, who's not. You know what you're doing it for. You know you're doing it for Allah, and that alone is enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But not can I thank you enough?
No, thank you. Really, thank you. I love this. And I again, I hope the angels that are surrounding us right now are, you know, I hope they write in a lot.
Please report back ASAP.
please report back to the Almighty, you know, let him know what we're doing down here. So, yeah, no, I am equally as happy.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
That is it for this episode. If we say anything wrong or incorrect, forgive us, for it is from us and Shaytan. And if you benefited, alhamdulillah, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Share this with anyone else you believe will benefit and may you share in that reward. Jazak Allah khair, Umi Hawa, for sharing your love story with hijab. Alhamdulillah, for the chance to have had this conversation with you. May it weigh heavy on your scale and on your grandmother's Allah yarhamah, for her positive influence in your life. Allahumma amin ya rabbil alameen. Everyone, please say ameen and keep them in your du'as. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Until next time, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.